This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
We are talking with retired Detective Phil Waters about the case against Lori Vallow Daybell as we are wrapping up another week in this trial that just continues to go on and continues to baffle the mind as to what Lori Vallow has allegedly been capable of doing. Phil, as a retired detective, I want to get your perspective. What has been standing out to you the most in the last couple of weeks of testimony in this trial?
Oh, wow. Well, it is interesting to me, and I haven't watched all of it, but it's interesting to me to see all those folks that you would think would be, you know, championing her cause, and they're not. And they are finally, it's almost as though she had them intimidated to the point that they were afraid to cross her. But now they have the opportunity to speak the truth, and they're speaking it. And it is most compelling, not in favor of her. And
sure.
So especially I listened to the jail conversation between her and her son.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, that was, in my view, that was amazing. That was an amazing conversation. And that young man, I will tell you, my takeaway from that was that he's angry, at his mother. And at the same time, he loves his mother. And at one moment, he's telling her, what did you do? He's asking her, what did you do? And then he's just saying to her, you killed my brother, my sister, and she's in another world. If there was ever an argument, I think, for demonic possession, she may be it. And he is telling her that he's praying for her. He's witnessing to her about his relationship with Jesus Christ and what he's praying for her. And in the moments that he is very passionate about communicating to her his anger and his being upset about what she's done, he at the same time is showing her compassion about her eternity. So I think it's a really amazing conversation to listen to. So that was the thing that most impressed me throughout the last couple of weeks. Now, in terms of testimony, you've got everybody in her life getting up there and they're talking about their own particular bizarre interaction with her and what her philosophy was, what her beliefs were, what she was doing, and so forth and so on. So it's all coming out. It's all being revealed. And I think another moment that stood out was when they were showing the crime scene photos of where the children's bodies had been disposed of on Daybell's property and the condition they were in and so forth and so on. And she left the courtroom.
Yeah.
Then she came back and it appeared that she may have been crying or been emotional at some point. and then wanted to, did not want to sit there in the courtroom and look at these pictures. Mm-hmm. And the judge very wisely said, well, you know what? If the jury's got to look at them, you got to look at them, and you're going to sit here in the courtroom.
Yeah.
Which I thought was an excellent, excellent call on the part of the judge. So it's and then I've read where they have found, you know, all the evidence is now coming out, and that's mm-hmm. That's the purpose of a trial, right?
Sure.
So the evidence is coming out. And now I've read, I think yesterday, where they found a strand of her hair mm-hmm. that was attached to some of the duct tape that was used to on the girl, if I'm not mistaken.
The duct tape. Actually, there's the duct tape that was on JJ is where they discovered that.
Okay, JJ.
And that's an interesting one because, I mean, obviously it seems to put her there, but to play devil's advocate for just a moment, I have duct tape around my house. If I were to go get it out of the drawer, I would imagine I'm going to find hair of almost every single person who lives in my house on that roll of duct tape if they had used it at one point in time.
Except for you.
Except for me. Why would it be? I think anybody. Well, yes, because I'm bald, but even chest hair. Somehow chest hair will make it to the duct tape.
That's true. That is true. But I've never believed in coincidence.
Sure.
And so whether that could be interpreted as she was there mm-hmm. when they wrapped JJ in the duct tape, mm-hmm. or whether she was not there, but they got some duct tape mm-hmm. from where she had been and used it.
Yeah.
I guess in one way or the other, it is putting her there mm-hmm. at some point in time in that series of events.
Whether physically there or just aware of what's going on and being okay correct. With it. I think the argument's not even as important if she's physically there at that moment. It's just that she conspired to be part of this and was certainly aware. The testimony that she had given and the phone call between her and her sister Summer, where Summer was pleading with her to just please tell us what's going on. And Lori, you'll figure it out someday. But then also standing up for herself when questioned about why were you dancing on the beach in Hawaii when your children were missing? Because at that moment in time, the kids were still missing. And she made the comment of, I had to move on at some point. Oh, she already knew. She knew they were dead at that point.
Yeah,
but she was pretending that they were missing as there's a search going on. It's just shocking, to all of us on the outside to see what this is. And I know you've brought up a couple times, interestingly, if there's ever been a example of demonic possession, she would be it. I mean, as much as we look at her stories of there's demons in the kids and this and that, and it sounds utterly crazy. But yeah, I mean, if you're to look at the behavior in which she engaged in, if you're a believer in that stuff, you could certainly make an argument that maybe there was something going on with her as well, to been able to continue on with this and to continue to stand behind and double down and triple down and quadruple down on her story with her friends and family that are just pleading for her to come to reality. Is she?
Well, her reality started a long time ago. I mean, this type of thing doesn't happen in a vacuum.
Sure.
I mean, she's been married five times. She's got, at least 5 dead bodies around her. Mm-hmm. And I heard an audio recording of her when she, I think, 18 years old at a beauty contest in Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. And the question was something along the lines of, what kind of a person are you? Or, who are you? Who is Lori Vallow? Blah, blah, blah. And her response was, as she laughed, was, well, I'm a ticking time bomb.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, that was profound. How prophetic that was. And it just took a few years for it to finally detonate. And you've got to go back into the history of her, this religious background, cult-like behavior. Mm-hmm. And then she gets with Daybell, and he's written science fiction books and he's written apocalyptic books. He's got this, philosophy and so forth and so on. And And they just kind of, the appearance is they just kind of fed off each other. And people murder people for one of three reasons: sex, drugs, or money. And in their particular case, it was about sex and money. Mm-hmm. And then you've got this little, you know that I don't know if you could categorize it this way. When I was in narcotics, we ran a lot across a lot of the occult and that kind of thing. And
yeah,
in fact, I used to teach in area churches and academies about the occult and about, for police officers to be aware of these are the signs that you may be dealing with a person that's involved in this type of thing and so forth and so on. And, so I'm familiar with cult-like behavior, cults and so forth and so on. She takes certain aspects of the Christian religion. And of course, this is what cults do, right? Yeah. I mean, they can be Christian based and they form these weird belief doctrinal systems that are completely the antithesis of what being a Christ follower is all about. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where she was at. I mean, we're talking about the kids were turning into zombies and when you get down to it, I mean, is the mindset here when we kill these two children, these are sacrifices in some way? Is this a ritual murder, a ritual homicide? There's not been any. I only were in 23 years in Houston and working 400 plus homicides. I saw one case that I thought I might be able to categorize as a ritual killing, mm-hmm. but they're very, very rare if they happen at all. But in this particular case, I mean, I'm reminded of the way they burned the bodies, the things that they did. They had,
yeah.
I think there was a bucket out there at the scene with, you know, tissue in it and body fat and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's just horrific. And it reminds me of the Old Testament, the Ammonites who used to sacrifice their children to Moloch. Mm-hmm. So I mean, there's a lot of very strange connections here to what her mindset was and what was motivating her through this whole process.
At this point, when the prosecution rests, which is probably not that far off, it's going to be the defense's turn. How do you see them defending Lori? I mean, I know they've been trying with Cross a little bit, but it's been very weak. Is there much of a defense that can be brought in for this?
I'll tell you, I can't think of one person. I've not heard of one person who has come forward and in speaking in a positive way about her. Mm-hmm. So all of the people that were close to her are now providing testimony that is, I guess, in the least way, is not very complimentary of her. Mm-hmm. And in the worst way is very, very damaging. Mm-hmm. So I don't know who they could come up with to come in and testify now. And there may be some sort of a deal getting cut with Chad, mm-hmm. to come in there and testify against her. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the defense, unless they come in and they now there's no I don't believe there's an insanity defense in Idaho.
There is not.
In Texas, we do have an insanity defense. It is a very high bar to get to.
Yeah.
But since there is no legal insanity defense, it may still be their defense to try to mitigate the punishment. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I don't see a whole lot of options for them except to walk in and say, this is the way she believed. And it's unfortunate, but this is what she was led to do. And we need to consider to go, all the way back in her childhood. And this is why she developed into this type of person and blah, blah, blah. But other than that, I can't imagine what the defense is going to try to say. I can't even wrap my head around what they would say.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Bill Waters, retired detective and president CEO of Kindred Spirits Investigations and Security, Inc. You can Check out kindredspiritsinvestigations.com for more on that. If you like the show and you want more of our conversations, courtroom audio, all that stuff, press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of it. We get an ad-free
This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military. This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
Experience the Apple Podcast when you sign up there. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more, and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.